Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to the series, A Woman After God's Heart. Being intentional in our devotion to pursuing God during our lifelong Christian journey. Lesson 3, our habits. Habits affect our lives. Have you ever stopped to think about your habits and how they impact your daily life or the influence they will have on others in the years to come? Keep adding up the habits we put into all our days, and that will make up the sum of what we do with our lives. Habits tell our life story. Everyone has habits, either for good or bad. Habits help us to either make the most of our time or waste it. Successful people know that habits are the key to having impact on their endeavors, no matter how small or big. Habits matter in the bigger picture of life. For example, Christians that develop the habit of reading and studying God's words will be far more successful in the choices they make and the influence they have. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength and might. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The good news is that cultivating positive habits takes no more effort than developing bad ones. The bad news is that it can be much harder to undo bad habits, but it can be done. Bad habits or time-wasting ones do not have to be a lifestyle. A new way of living through good habits is always possible, especially when we realize the importance of them. Researchers from Duke University have shown that over 40% of what we do is determined, not by decisions, but by habits. Nonetheless, our habits still started with decisions of what to do and what not to do. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Moses gives an example of how to pray for God to help us, to teach us how to use our days in a wise way to have wise habits. What we do with our time is bunched up into our habits. Even the habit of doing nothing and wasting time is still a habit. A habit is defined as anything we continually do with the time we have. Time flies by so quickly. Life is so uncertain. One day we will look back and wonder what we did with all the time God gave us. What were the habits we lived by? Were they wise? If we truly considered every 24-hour period as something valuable God has entrusted to us, not knowing when that would end, would we use our time differently? How would we be equipping ourselves so we could be best used by God? 1 Corinthians 4:2. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Are we trustworthy with what we do with the time God has given us? Do we put worth into the days God has given us by the habits that form us into the people we are and also are becoming? Just a note, this doesn't mean we don't have time for relaxation and fun. That's important too. There's a balance in the habits we form. Most of us have heard the common adage, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but we are not dogs, so we can teach ourselves new habits. For many years, it was commonly believed as a person got older every year, it makes it more impossible to change habits. Once a habit, always a habit, was the conclusion. However, research on neuroplasticity declares something totally different. It shows how wise God was when he created human brains. Neuroplasticity means God has given our brain cells the ability to change, to reorganize, and do things differently, such as habits. When a choice becomes a continued behavior, then because of the frequency it is done, brain cells are changed as their pathway becomes stronger. So the key is frequent repetition, which makes us stronger in that choice. And then it becomes easier, not at first, but eventually. The brain is a wonderful gift from God. It gives us the potential to live our lives in an effective way. And a lot of that has to do with our habits, our lifestyle, in what we choose to continually do or not do. We are not stuck in our bad or useless habits. The solution is choosing a new and better habit and then frequently and intentionally doing that choice. In the New Testament, Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, we ask Christ to strengthen us as we continually try to change bad or useless habits into good, beneficial ones. The change doesn't usually come overnight, but it is a journey we can quickly get to as God transforms us. Now, just a note, belief in God, trusting in Jesus as Savior, going to lots of Bible studies, gaining lots of scriptural knowledge are all important, but they do not change our habits. Habits are putting into practice the knowledge we gain in any subject. For example, I know of a woman that homeschooled her kids and also had a thriving ministry. She didn't want to live an overwhelmed, high-stress life, so she gathered information on how to organize her home, make healthy freezer meals, have a chore chart, yes, for a grown woman, and just do the simple but highly effective habits to make her home run smoothly. People were amazed at how much she got done without a high stress level. She actually enjoyed the life God had given her. She personally attributes her success to the habits she chose and maintained. Yes, these were habits in the physical realm, but they benefited the mental and emotional well-being of her family. Habits matter no matter what the realm of life we apply them in. Look at these biblical examples. Daniel lived in a foreign, godless land, but still kept his habit of praying. He took this habit so seriously that he was almost killed for doing it. Job was a righteous man whose habit was to live his life for God, despite his personal trial of everything being taken from him, even his own children. Job kept his habit of holding on to God. His habit of praying to God paid off as he remained faithful to God, even though his own wife told him to curse God and die. Paul was faithful to the very end of his life. Paul was in the habit of evangelizing and encouraging Christians to be mature in the faith. His habit of knowing the Old Testament and the happenings of Jesus helped him to hold on to God even in death. There are many examples of Christians that God used in mighty ways that mattered for all eternity. We will be discussing six habits of these highly effective Christians shortly. But first, let's keep these three keys in mind when it comes to changing our habits. Three keys to change habits. The first key is act quickly and often. Successful people know what they need to change before their mind can convince them not to act upon gaining a new habit. They just do that habit right away. And they do it as often as possible. Quickly make the decision to do something to change so it can become a habit and be consistent at doing it. The second key is start small. It would be overwhelming to change many habits at once. Start small, pick what matters most, and then concentrate on changing the bad or useless to the good and beneficial. You'll get there. Don't give up when the going gets tough, step by step, and it will be a habit that will matter in your life. Third key, keep a visual daily reminder. Now, this doesn't work for everyone, but to others, it is highly motivating. Make a monthly chart, put down what your new habit is and how you plan to actually do it on a consistent basis. Cross off each day you do it and try to do it consecutively. When it becomes a habit, some people reward themselves for their accomplishment. Not a new car. We have to be realistic, but just something that makes you happy for succeeding in making a habit. Now let's discuss six habits for highly effective Christians. Please note that we won't be discussing the everyday duties or responsibilities that we all personally have. Rather, these six essential habits of a woman that pursues the heart of God are what she centers everything she does around. They are her building blocks, her foundation to her walk with God. She wants her life to matter as a godly influencer, so these six habits are vital to her success. Most likely, we all have heard of these, but are they our habits, our way of life, our lifestyle? Because these will make all the difference in the world, in our world, and the world we live in with the people we know. It's helpful to do deeper studies in each of these topics as you gather more scriptures for your lifelong journey of pursuing the heart of God with your habits. Let's do PAT, practical application time. Six habits of highly effective Christians. First, habit of constructive thoughts. Second, habit of humility. Third, habit of serving with love. Fourth, habit of gratefulness. Fifth, habit of maturing biblically. Sixth, habit of prayer. First, habit of constructive thoughts. We always start with our thoughts. The Bible says much about our mindset because our minds direct every other area of our life. Our thoughts influence our words, reactions, attitudes, emotions, beliefs, and our behavior. For example, if we keep recycling thoughts that tell us, oh, prayer doesn't work, because we've prayed for a long time over something or someone and God is silent about it, therefore, our conclusion is prayer doesn't work. So, are these thoughts constructive thinking patterns? We must be able to assess our thoughts and then quickly line them up with truth or deceit according to the Word of God. Not according to our own human thoughts and not according to our own personal experiences. God's truth never changes, even though we don't understand the why or the why nots. We can't always know the mind of God or the eventual eternal good. The habit of constructive thoughts is throwing out our own deceived, useless thoughts and instead replacing them with the truths of God's word with His wisdom and in His ways. Constructive thinking patterns include trusting and relying on the goodness of God, His power, His faithfulness, even when we don't see it. We have a choice. Either hold on to and recycle useless thoughts that are not beneficial and waste our time, or make the choice to hold on to constructive thoughts, which include prayer and quoting scripture and praise music. These are not a waste of our time. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In these verses, Paul is counseling Christians to respond to God's mercy on us by living a life that truly worships Him in all we do. In other words, we live our daily lives in a way that pleases Him. We do this with our daily habits. Paul also advises us that we must no longer be conformed to the world. The word world is often used in the New Testament to refer to the world system. Paul is telling us to stop living like everyone else because we are now in the family of God, followers of Christ. Therefore, our habits are different. Constructive thinking patterns make room in our brains to transform our lives. These thoughts build us to be stable in God's ways because they are centered on His word and His truths. But that means we need to get into the habit of letting go of the bad habit of thinking bad thoughts that are useless. Put off bad thinking habits and put on good thinking habits. For example, Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling and complaining. This is demanding our brain to stop the old habit of grumbling and complaining, of being dissatisfied, being negative and ungrateful. We develop a new habit by doing the opposite, thanking God for the hardship so we can learn to mature in various areas, finding things to be grateful for instead of grumbling about. Constructive thinking is a necessary habit for the woman who pursues the heart of God. Second, the habit of humility. Let's look at four things God says about humility. One, God requires us to walk humbly before Him. To walk signifies continual movement. So we are in the continual habit of being humble toward God. Micah 6, verse 8, He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Two, God tells us to put on humility toward others. We need to continually do this because of our sin nature and also theirs. Colossians 3, verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Three, God rewards us with godly wisdom when we are in the habit of having humility toward Him and others. But if we don't, then the consequence is shame and discredit toward our reputation. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. 4, God actually opposes us when we are prideful. God is not on our side when we have a prideful spirit, but he is gracious toward us when we choose humility instead. James 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is a necessary habit for the woman who pursues the heart of God. Third, habit of serving with love. Are we in the habit of putting love into serving others? Or instead, do we look at serving as something we just don't love? This can include serving a baby by changing their diapers, reading the favorite book of a toddler for the 568th time, listening and making positive comments when your teen, older married child, or grandchild simply wants to talk to you when you have a million things to do. Picking up your spouse's socks off the floor and taking out the garbage when it is his job to do so. Washing dishes, doing laundry, vacuuming, cooking, etc. without much appreciation. Do we look at the everyday chores, the daily duties, the to-do list as something tedious, mundane, and resent we must do it every day? And what about our ministry at church or job or whatever we do? Do we have the attitude that we have to instead of we get to? Life can change in a split second, and sometimes the very things we don't like doing are the very things we would miss. Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24. Again, let's read this verse. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So Paul is stating this principle for all believers because we all do some type of work or serving toward others. According to this verse, we are to work or serve others heartily. The meaning of this word is to serve with our thoughts as we are doing the work. And our thoughts are reminding us any work we do, we should be doing it well and with a good attitude because the Lord is watching. He sees if we are complaining in our minds and grumbling in our hearts. We do any work as unto the Lord because he is actually the one we serve in all we do, with our thoughts, hearts, and attitudes. Christians are to work heartily. From the Greek means from the soul. This implies with enthusiasm and passion, no matter what we are doing, and that includes even the most mundane of chores. Jesus was our example of the right heart and the right attitude. Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In context, this verse is stating that Jesus is God's servant because he served God by giving his life for us. When we are followers of Christ, then our attitude is, I am God's servant because I am serving God as I am serving others in whatever I am doing. No matter how big or small the act of serving is, or what kind of work we are doing, it's all about our heart toward God more than our heart toward others. Hebrews 6, verse 10, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. God sees all we do. He does not overlook any type of work, no matter how big or little. He also sees the love or lack of love we put into our work as we serve Him and others. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. This verse reflects on the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Here in chapter 16, Paul is again telling us love is superior to all we do. So we put it into all we do. Work, serving, ministering, anything we do without love can be meaningless. When we remember we do all as unto or for the Lord, why would we not put love in it, since the greatest is love? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Mark 10, verse 43, but it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Jesus calls us to be servants, but we must put love into our service to God and others. Serving and love go together. Serving with love is a necessary habit for the woman who pursues the heart of God. Fourth, habit of gratefulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This verse not only tells us to express thanks in all manner of things, but it is emphasizing that this is God's will for us, or what He absolutely wants us to do. Interesting that there are no, but not in this circumstance do you have to be thankful. This is because God promises us that no matter what the circumstance, in His time and in His way, He will make it eventually work for good for His eternal purposes. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be thankful that God never lets go of us, no matter how bad or unloving a situation looks like. Through our human eyes, we have faith to believe God's love is always foundational and never changes for us. Trials and hardships, relationships and people, situations and circumstances will be forever changing in our lives. We learn from these. We grow biblically mature as we persevere. But we need not ever doubt that this means God's love has lessened for us. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, giving thanks for our circumstances is different than giving thanks in our circumstances. For example, persecution for doing what is right is not something we would necessarily be thankful for, but we can be thankful in the remembrance that God will use this persecution, this hardship, for our eternal blessing, or perhaps someone becoming a born-again Christian, or a person growing in their own faith as they watch ours. Who knows exactly all the good that will come out of our circumstances? God knows, and for this, we are grateful. Psalm 107, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever." Ephesians 5, verse 20, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Psalm 86, verse 12, "I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Please note, the habit of being grateful is not just for the good eventual eternal outcomes of hardships. A habit of gratefulness is also something we can do every day, such as being intentional of just stopping, looking around us, and taking the time to tell God, "I notice and I am truly grateful for all the good you have given me." Having gratefulness is a necessary habit for the woman who pursues the heart of God. Fifth habit, habit of biblical maturity. Our spiritual journey of growing in God's word and how to be better followers of Christ takes time and effort. It takes the habit of being consistent and committed in getting to know God so we can walk with him every day in all we do. It doesn't just magically or easily come. We need to get into the habit of training ourselves to gain biblical maturity. Remember, as stated earlier, to just take small steps. Whenever you make a new habit, do what works for you at this season in your life. Something, even if it's small, is better than nothing at all. Biblical maturity should be a top priority. We are all busy doing what we choose to do or must do. But this habit is extremely important because you are building your legacy with it, what you will be handing down to others. Your life is shown by the legacy you leave behind. It's the eternal impact you have on others. We will be discussing this in Lesson 12. What are some ways to help us grow in spiritual maturity? Bible reading and Bible study. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Acts 17, verse 11, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." Memorizing God's word. Scriptural memorization is essential. This is the essence of constructive thoughts that truly benefit our lives and our influence on others. Anyone can memorize, yes. To some it is easier, but anyone can do it. Find a method that works best for you. One method is to say a verse 15 times a day, 5 times in the morning, 5 times in the afternoon, and 5 times at night. Then move on to the next one. Be sure to go over the ones you memorized every few weeks. Psalm 119:11 talks about memorization. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Meditating on God's word. Joshua 1 verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And note, prosperous and successful essentially means successful in your spiritual walk with God. This does not mean prosperous as in lots of money, nor does it mean successful always in having good health. Other ways to help us mature spiritually are fellowship with other Christians, having godly friends, going to a Bible-based church. Hebrews 10 verses 24 through 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Godly friends and mentors, Proverbs 13, 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer. Praising God, Ephesians 5, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. No matter how hard we might do the work to become biblically mature, we must ask the Holy Spirit to help us, teach us, and guide us as we continually learn for the rest of our lives. Galatians 5, verse 16 tells us that we're to walk by the Spirit. The Greek word used in this verse for walk means to walk with a purpose in your life, in view, in focus. It also means step by step or one step at a time with the help of the Holy Spirit to develop godly habits in us. Developing biblical maturity is a necessary habit for the woman who pursues the heart of God. Sixth habit, the habit of prayer. Prayer changes us, and it makes a difference in the lives of those we pray for, whether we see it right away or not. We might not ever see it, but it will make a difference. God always hears our prayers. He answers them in His timing and in His way. This does not mean He answers the way we want. Prayer is talking to God, asking from God as we put our trust in God. Prayers are not about us telling God what He must do, demanding that He do what makes sense to us, or giving us what we require of Him. We pray, we ask, but we don't expect Him with a sense of entitlement that He had better do what we tell Him to do. We want His will to be done and not ours, as Jesus told us in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10. Jesus said then, pray in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4, 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. God wants us to be in the habit each and every day of praying throughout the day. This does not mean we are on our knees all day long. We can pray anytime and anywhere when doing anything. Pray when taking a shower, doing chores, driving somewhere with a friend on the phone, while getting ready for bed. Continually talking to God keeps us in the constructive thought zone. Prayer is a necessary habit for the woman who pursues the heart of God. So let's recap. Six habits for highly effective Christians. First, habit of constructive thoughts. Second, habit of humility. Third, habit of serving with love. Fourth, habit of gratefulness. Fifth, habit of maturing biblically. Sixth, habit of prayer. I appreciate you, my listeners, that have a heart to know the Word of God. How exciting that as God plants His wisdom in our hearts, He will use us to minister to the hearts of others. We give back to others what God has given us. Please subscribe and share with others. Would you consider leaving a review so others can be encouraged and equipped in the Word of God? Thanks so much. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever."